So guess what I'm going to preach on today? The resurrection. Hallelujah. We've been doing that for the last couple of weeks, and it's been amazing about the hope that we have in the resurrection. Listen to what it says in Luke 23, verse 55, and then we're going to jump down into chapter 24. As his body was taken away, the woman from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. And when they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. Now think about that for a moment. They go home to prepare ointments and spices, which in that day was very significant and a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money, and they didn't even get to use it. Yeah. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun, so they rested as the law required by the law. Verse 1, chapter 24. But early on the Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the tomb stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee." Praise God. You see, here's the truth of the matter is, so much of the Christian life, I would say just about everything of the Christian life, is tied to the resurrection. That if there's no resurrection, there's no reason to gather. If there's no resurrection, there's no reason to preach. But because there's a resurrection, for 2,000 years, the churches have been proclaiming a good news that the man who came, named Jesus, was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary, lived on this earth, was crucified, buried, and on the third day rose again. And he arose, and when he arose, it took care of our sin. Forgiven. Hallelujah. You see, the resurrection is a reason to believe. In John chapter 20, as a summation of all that Jesus does, he says this, "But these things were written so that you may continue to believe." How many know faith is active? Faith is active. It's a continuing thing. Faith is not a one-time event. Faith is a lifestyle of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Hallelujah. Not only that, because of the resurrection, you and I have newness of life. Life, the power of life. You see, that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in every believer. Amen? Yeah, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." Hallelujah! I'm not trusting in my own works. I'm not trusting in my own goodness. I'm not trusting in anything that I have done. No, I am saved because of what he has done. I am saved because of his grace, his mercy. I am saved because of his call. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Amen. That newness of life. Not only that, in the resurrection comes a call to be his witness, to be his servant. In John 20, 21, it says this, "And again he said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.' Then he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" Do you see what he says? He's resurrected. He enters the room where they are, and he sends them forth to proclaim the resurrection. To proclaim Jesus the Messiah is a reason that we go forth all over the world to proclaim the gospel. It's because he's alive. That is the good news. Hallelujah. Not only that, but in the resurrection, there is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he's called us to do. to empower us with that Holy Spirit. And all because of his resurrection, because of all of this, he was declared to be the Son of God. Listen, Romans 1:4, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does it mean? It means this. He was proven to be the Son of God, was born the Son of God, worked miracles as the Son of God, was crucified, declare himself to be God, the King of the Jews. And today, yet a few thousand years back, the tomb is empty. He is raised. He is glorified because he's the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He is powerfully declared to be all that he was and is to come. You see, while he was on earth, his glory was shrouded in flesh. The Bible talks about that. Shrouded in flesh. No one could really see his glory. Peter, James, and John went up to the Mount of Peter and John went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw it, the brilliance of it all. They saw you and I, this other disciples, it was just shrouded in flesh. Yeah. And now, today, because he rose, his glory is shrouded in eternity. You and I can't see it. We can't behold, but we know. We know because we see the stirring in our own heart, the anticipation in our own soul. We know what the touch of the cross, the power of his resurrection has done. It set us free. But right now, his glory is shrouded in eternity. But one day, he has made a promise to us that we're going to step from this life into the next. We're going to step from this life that brings about death into a life eternal where we shall see him as he is. Eternity will no longer shroud his glory. We will behold his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. That is going to be a day. So it is today. We receive his grace. Without the resurrection, there is no grace. Oh, there's grace, but no power in that grace. Without grace, there's no hope. And without grace, we are lost. But because he arose, there is grace that has the power to redeem us. Hallelujah. Because he did all these things in the last days of because he is declared to be the Son of God. There's a few things he did in the last few weeks of his life while he was resurrected. Listen to what he did. First of all, I don't want you to miss the activity of Jesus, that last little segment of his life, because it means everything for us. Standing before Mary Magdalene in John 20, verses 13 through 14, he said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" And the angel asked her, "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied. "And I don't know where they have put him." And she turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. He stood there to comfort her. He stood there to comfort her in the midst of her sorrow. Can I tell you? He is still the God of all comfort. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says this, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we may comfort others. Then when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." Aren't you glad he's a God of all comfort? And when he stood before Mary Magdalene that day, he wanted to give her comfort because of her broken heart. Can I tell you? He's still in the business of giving comfort to broken people. He's in this house today because he's alive and well to bring comfort to our hearts and lives. I don't know about, "Well, I don't need comfort." Listen, let me tell you something. There'll come a day when you're going to be tapped out of your own strength, tapped out of your own wisdom, tapped out of your own ability. And I'm going to tell you, he is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. He's still in that business. The second thing he does, listen, he stood in the midst of the disciples. Can you imagine that table meeting? They're gathered in an upper room and they're all afraid because of what's going on and what has happened to Jesus. They've all scattered. Peter's cursed him 3 times and it doesn't look very good. Listen to what it says. And that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly. Don't you just love that? How many know suddenly it can all change? Glory to God. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them his wounds and his hands and his side. And they were all filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Filled with joy. He stood to restore joy. Have you ever met anybody that needs their joy restored? Huh? Man, that is sour. Their lemonade ceased to be sweet a long time ago. All the sugar settled to the bottom. And they're just bitter old. I would say something, but I won't. Listen, sometimes you walk through life. You go through things. Things don't happen the way they ought to. And you need a restoration of joy. You need to look beyond the circumstances and see a hope in a God who is able to work you and walk you through things you never thought you could go through. Why? Because he is faithful to restore joy. Glory to God. I'm glad I can be happy. Huh? A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege to play golf with somebody, and we were on a team, and we were just messing around and all that kind of stuff. And the other day, I bumped into him, and he said to me, Larry, I never knew you were so funny. Because every time I see you, just serious, you know, and all that stuff. And I never knew you were so funny. I said, well, from a distance, you know, people, you don't really get to know people, you know. But I like having fun. And we ought to be joyful people. Amen? Ask God to stir your lemonade up. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Listen, he stood there to restore the disciples' joy. He's here today to restore your joy. The same resurrected Savior still restores joy. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Listen, there are little things that can get you sideways. You ever been sideways? Do you understand what I mean by sideways? Huh? Yeah. He knows how to restore joy. Yeah. Listen to Paul's prayer in Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with
joy and peace.
Joy and peace as you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something about joy that gives you hope for tomorrow. We need a dose of joy. Amen. Here's probably my favorite one. When Jesus stood, he stood in the room for Thomas. Listen, 8 days later, the disciples were together again. This time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them, and he said, "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said unto Thomas, you know why he did this? Because Thomas had said, "I'm not going to believe until I touch and see with my own eyes and hands." He stood. He said unto Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wounds, in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Believe. Who needs to hear that today? Believe. Don't you just love it when Jesus shows up, stood in their midst, to revive faith. Amen. To revive faith. He stood for the doubter. The doubter. He stood to rescue the one who was struggling in unbelief. He's still here for the doubter. Aren't you glad of that? Huh? He's still here for the doubter. Amen? And then another time Jesus stood was, he stood on the beach. Yeah. He's because Peter had said after this upper room, you know, experience and all this stuff, and they just, I'm going fishing. That's where he called them from, remember? That all, most of the disciples were fishermen. He says, I'm going fishing. And guess what all everybody else does? They go fishing with Peter. I mean, they just go fishing. Why? Because it's what they've known. It's what they used to. It's what, it was safe. They fished all night. Caught nothing. Whew. You know what that is? That's a miserable fishing trip. Think about it. They're miserable. They're having a miserable time. No fish. No fish. And Jesus is standing on the shore. You know, there's been a time or two when God stood to restore me. Because at that moment, Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. You know, the strange thing to me is they did it. I mean, after fishing all night, you know there's no fish. But somehow he commands them, cast it out. You know, at that point, you want to have a dialogue with this stranger on the beach. But they do it. And they catch a boatload of fish. A boatload of fish. They get on the shore. Then they recognize it's Jesus and they run to him. They leap into the water after him. One of them has to put his clothes back on because they realize it's Jesus. But he's there for one purpose. He stood on the shore to restore a call to ministry. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He denied him three times. Three times. A restoration question went out to restore ministry, to restore the purpose, the plan of God in their life. I'm glad he still stands in the midst of his church to restore. Aren't you? This past week, I was at a meeting, and they were talking about churches. And you know, the church in America is not doing very well. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but atheists now outnumber evangelicals in America. And you think what it is. And I figured out why the church is not doing well. I figured it out. Would you like to know? See, I know a lot of people who say, well, it's because we don't sing what we used to sing. I know a lot of people say it's because they don't preach like they used to preach. I know a lot of people who say it's not the same. It's not, if we did what we did before, it'd be different. Somehow that just, I don't know if Jesus ever did the same miracle twice. You know, when he healed some people, he healed them this way one time, and the next time he's spitting on the ground. But somehow we've made church such a routine that it's got to be this song, got to be this preacher, there got to be this, and got to be that, and got to be that. And if it's not that, that's why the church is dying. I don't think it has anything to do with any of that. I
I have to tell you, I walked out of that meeting so discouraged and just hard-hearted for the church. My heart was broken for the church. God, why? And I came to this conclusion. He is faithful. God, who knows how to revive his church and has revived his church in the past, can do it again. I think probably the reason we've seen such stagnant faith in the church . You're not going to like what I'm about to tell you. I think we have stopped seeking him for the supernatural. You remember the church in Revelation? They were doing all the stuff. They had a lot. And Jesus says to them, the church, you've lost your first love. Somewhere along the line, you stop pursuing me. Somewhere along the line, you stop pursuing the resurrected one. Somewhere along the line, you got more comfortable with what you know than what I needed to show you. Somehow, Lord, it's been my prayer, make us hungry again. Because if you think the revival of the church is going to happen because we somehow need to jump back in time and sing something we used to sing, you need to fall in love with Jesus again. I know he touched you back then. I know he blessed you back then. Can I tell you something? He's ready. He's standing in this room to touch you again, to revive a love in your heart that you have lost. He stands in this place to comfort. He stands in this place for the doubter. He stands in this place to restore joy. He stands in this place to restore ministry. He stands in this place to revive his church. To revive his church. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Thank you, Lord, for this day. And I thank you for everyone in this room, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you brought us here to celebrate what you've done. But God, I'm not interested in standing outside that celebration. I want to be in the middle of it. I want to know the power of that resurrection in my life every day, Lord. I want to know the comfort of that. I want to know the joy of it. I want to know the steadfastness in it, Lord. I want to know the hope, oh God, that you are not done with your church. I want to know it. Make me hungry, Lord, for you again. Renew in me a hunger for you, Lord. God, in the past, I thought I was hungry. In the past, I knew I, God, let me know it again. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Larry, I don't know that I've ever put my faith in the Lord. I don't know that I've ever come to the place where I stepped inside the resurrection power. I've just looked at it from a distance, and I've never come to the place of faith in him. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you in any form or fashion, but I would like to pray for you right now. If you're ready to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him, the God, Jesus, who was dead, buried for 3 days, and rose again. He said this, if you believe, he will forgive you of all your sins.
He will provide for you a place in eternity.
If that's you here this morning, would you just raise your hand? Anybody? 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 Anybody at all? Yes? Anybody? Praise God. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we stand across this auditorium right now? I would imagine there's some people in this room that need the comfort of God today. I would imagine there's some people in this room who need your joy restored. I imagine there's some people in this room that you're doubting on something and some issue, and you need God to just stand next to you. You need His presence to be renewed in your life, and maybe you're ready. Maybe you're ready for God to just make you hungry again for the things of God. Can we just... God, I just ask you to come and stand in this place today. Do what you need to do in each and every one of our hearts and our lives, Lord. God, I thank you that you are the resurrected one. And in that, we have hope, oh God, that our tomorrows can be different. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, for the comfort. Thank you, Lord God, that you know how to rescue us, oh God. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're here this morning, you say, Pastor Larry, I need a little dose of joy. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You're here today, you say, Pastor Larry, I need a little comfort. I've had a little trouble. Raise your hand. You got a place in your doubt. Would you raise your hand? This is God's going to take care of it. Listen, God knows how to rescue us. You need your love, your hunger for God to be renewed. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on. God, do it. Why don't you just raise your hands and just begin to praise Him for His holy work in our lives. Can you do that? Just thank Him for being comfort. Thank Him for being joy. Thank Him for being a renewal in your heart and life. Thank Him. Thank Him for standing next to you. Thank Him for standing in this place. God, we bless you. We praise you. We magnify your name, Lord.
Still I will praise you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.